Awesome job, PJ. Thank you. Before we get into the sermon, would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank you for this time when we can turn our hearts and our minds towards you. Lord, we pray that you would open us up now by the power of your Spirit. God, help us to hear the words of love and affirmation that you have for us. But God, also open us to the ways that you are pushing us, the ways that you're challenging us to grow. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who is your living word. Amen. So I'm guessing that if you are the kind of person that could lose an hour of sleep and still get yourself here to church, you are different. You're not like all those sleepyheads who are going to be listening to this later on the podcast. No offense, sleepyheads listening later on the podcast. We love you. But you're different. If you can spring forward and still get yourself here, that tells me that you are committed, you are tough, and so you can handle some hard truth. I probably wouldn't open with this on just any Sunday, but I know you can take it. Here's some hard truth. Your life is limited, and my life is limited. What I mean by that is that one day, we're not going to be around anymore. I looked it up this week, and according to the CDC, the average life expectancy for Americans right now is 76 years. 76 years. Some folks will get more, some folks will get less, but that's the average. I don't know how that lands with you. To me, hearing that number quantified like that is pretty sobering. I am in my mid-30s myself, and so if I'm fortunate enough to make it to the CDC average, that means that my time here is just about halfway done, halfway over. And I don't know about you, but the more time goes on, the more that I'm feeling my limitedness. You know, like when I was in my 20s, a lot of times I would stay up till midnight, past midnight, for no reason at all. Now, I don't even stay up till midnight on New Year's. I'm like, I've seen the ball drop, I get it, I'll celebrate in the morning. When I was in my 20s, I could go to the gym and do pretty much whatever I wanted. I was like, throw all the weight on the bar, turn the treadmill all the way up. Now, I gotta go to the gym with a plan. And if I deviate from the plan, I start getting all of these injuries. You know, my body is not what it used to be. It wasn't that long ago that I had hair on my head. Some of you remember when I had hair. And now that's all gone, and you can't see it, but the hairs that I have left are rapidly turning gray. It's funny as I say this because I'm looking at your faces, and some of you are younger than me, and you don't really fully know what I'm talking about. Some of you are older than me, and you're looking at me like, listen, kid, you don't even know the half of it. And that worries me. That scares me about my future. But we feel our limitedness to different degrees, but for all of us, life is limited. King David in the Old Testament, he put it this way, kind of lyrically. He said, the days of a human life are like grass. He says, they bloom like a wildflower. If you're in your 20s, that's you. You're a wildflower. You're beautiful. You're healthy. Enjoy that. They bloom like a wildflower, but when the wind blows through it, it's gone. And even the ground where it stood doesn't remember it. Hard truth. It's a hard truth that our lives are limited. Now, as we face that hard truth, I think it raises a number of questions for us. Questions that can be challenging, but they're also clarifying. And ultimately, they're helpful. Questions like, so what are you doing with your limited life? You have a finite amount of time left in this life. We don't know how much time we have left, any of us, but we know it's a finite amount of time. So what are you giving your limited life to? Are you giving your life to what you should be giving your life to? Are you giving your limited life to something that is life-giving to you? The reason I bring all of this up is because of this passage that PJ read for us from Mark chapter 8. We're in a sermon series right now, called Questions Jesus Asked. We're looking at some of the most powerful, some of the most transformational questions that Jesus poses. And right in the middle of this passage, Jesus lifts up one of those really good questions. As we're going to see in just a minute, this is a question that forces us to confront our limitedness, and it challenges us to think about, am I doing what I should be doing with my life? What am I doing with my life? So let's unpack this passage for a minute and see what we can learn. Here's the context. One day, Jesus was hanging out with his disciples, and he realized that they could use a change of scenery. They could use a break. At this point, they had been working really hard. They had been teaching and preaching and healing people and casting out demons and feeding people. And Jesus was like the star of the attraction. He would draw these big crowds, and then it was up to the disciples to manage the crowds. And if you've ever done any sort of like crowd control or even any kind of customer service, you know, like people can get pretty exhausting pretty quick. And Jesus picks up on the fact that the disciples need a break. And so Jesus decides he's gonna lead them to this nearby region that was a little more mountainous than their home region where they had been hanging out. And he leads them up to this mountain town called Caesarea Philippi. This is sort of like, in our context, we could think of this as like Boone. It was like the mountain town where people go to like refresh and recharge a little bit. And so they're up there kind of in this mountainous environment. And Jesus decides this would be a good time to get the disciples thinking about their life, to do some reflection on the direction of their life. This kind of reminds me of I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but growing up in the church when I was a teenager, I was active in my church's youth group, and a couple times a year, we would take a weekend retreat, often to the mountains. And while we were away in the mountains, we would get to do fun stuff. We would play charades, and we would make s'mores by the fire and all of those things. But usually, the youth pastor would schedule at least a little bit of time for us to go off, find our own individual space to do some reflection. And we'd think in various ways about this question of, what is God trying to say to me? What should I be doing with my life? And that's kind of the vibe that we get in this scene. And while that's going on, Jesus says a lot of things to the disciples, but one of the things he says right in the middle of this passage is he lifts up this really good question. He says, why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What is Jesus doing with that question? I think part of what he's doing there is he's subtly pointing out to us that for a whole lot of us, we spend a whole lot of our lives gaining, right? Trying to gain more and more. What kinds of things do we spend our lives trying to gain? For some of us, we spend a whole lot of our lives trying to gain more and more money, or maybe more and more success professionally, or success as a mom, as a dad. We want to gain more. And so we work and we grind and we grind and we think about money and we worry about money and we think about our success and how we're doing and we just pour ourselves into that. We want to gain these things. What else do we want to gain? A lot of us, if we're honest, we spend a whole lot of our life trying to gain status, trying to gain the approval and the admiration of people around us. And so we buy this and we buy that. We think if I just get the right combination of stuff, if I get the right combination of clothes, the right car, the right house, then once I get all that in place, then I'll become the kind of person that I want to be. And I'll belong with the kinds of people that I want to belong with. I heard someone say recently, I thought this was kind of eye-opening. He said, you know, up until recently in human history, people would get new stuff when their old stuff stopped working. But he said, lately, more and more, we humans, we get new stuff because we want to be the kind of people who have new stuff, right? We get a new phone, not necessarily because our old one stopped working, but because we want to be the kind of person who has the latest phone. We get a new car, not necessarily because the old one's not working, but because we want to be the kind of person who drives a new car. We get new clothes, not necessarily because the old ones don't, you know, they're worn out or something, but because we want to be the kind of person who's in style, who's with it. We give so much of our lives to gaining status in different ways. What else do we try to gain? Here's another big one, I think. Maybe more than we realize, we give so much of our limited lives to gaining pleasure. Oftentimes it's little temporary, fleeting pleasures, little hits of dopamine that we get. So we scroll and we scroll, we binge and we binge, we shop and we shop. I saw a survey that came out not too long ago that said they found the average American today watches about 3 hours of television every day. And a different survey also found that the average American who's on social media, which is most of us, the average American spends about 2.5 hours a day on social media. You put those two things together, apparently a whole lot of us are spending over 5.5 hours every single day on digital entertainments. That's a lot of life that we're giving to gain these little temporary pleasures. We spend so much of our lives gaining all of these kinds of things. And Jesus puts the question to us, why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? He's saying, listen, you're so focused on all this gaining. Where is it getting you? Is it getting you the life that you want? Is it delivering what you think it is promising to you? Or is it actually draining you of your limited life? I've shared this with some of you before. In our family, I'm the one who typically does the grocery shopping. And I like to do it all in, you know, 1 week at a time, get the whole haul for the week. And I usually do it on Friday afternoons. And so I'll be at Harris Teeter, and I'll be waiting in the checkout line. And as I'm waiting to get checked out, I'm looking around, and I see all these magazines, right? You've seen these magazines too. These magazines are covered with the faces of famous people, successful people, beautiful people. These are folks who, in Jesus' words, they've basically gained the whole world. They've gained more status, more success, more wealth, more pleasure than you and I will ever gain. And what do they have to show for it? What do they have to show? Have they achieved the life that they crave, that we all crave? Well, if the magazines are any indication, a lot of these folks are completely miserable. They've gained more than you and I, and yet they still don't have the life that they want. In fact, in the process of all of that gaining, they've lost so much of their limited life, right? And so that's why Jesus says two verses before this, did you catch this? At the beginning of the passage, Jesus says, all who want to come after me, they must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. What does that mean? Jesus is saying, listen, if you want to give your life to something that's actually life-giving to you, he's saying, give your life to me and follow me in giving your life away for others. He says, you got to say no to yourself. What does that mean? Well, you think about it. When we're gaining, what we're doing, we're saying yes to ourselves, yes to me, yes to what I want. Our life becomes all about me and my money and my status and my success and my pleasure. Jesus is saying, you got to flip that around. You got to learn how to say no to yourself. Take up your cross. What in the world does that mean? Well, think about it. When Jesus was going to the cross, what was he doing? He was laying down his life. He was giving his life away for others, to be a blessing to others, to love others, to serve others, to save others, and build others up. And so Jesus is saying, if you want to have a life worth living, you need to stop with all of this gaining. You need to start giving. You need to stop living your life for yourself and start living for others. You need to stop hoarding and saving your life with this scarcity mentality. And more, you need to start giving your life away. Now, all of that, I know, kind of sounds a little abstract, and you know, we live in this world that is, this is just so countercultural, but my guess is that you've witnessed this in somebody that you know, I'm guessing. Like, think for a second about someone that you know that you would look at their life and you would say, that's a life well lived. Think about somebody that you have known. They're not perfect, but throughout the ups and downs of life, they just had this love, they had this peace, this joy, this hope. I think about my grandparents. I think about a pastor that I had growing up. Maybe you think about a teacher that you had, or a mentor, or a relative of yours. And as you think about that person, was their life all about gaining, or was it about giving? Were they living for themselves, Or were they living for others? Were they hoarding and saving their life, or were they giving their life away for others? You see, Jesus is saying, listen, if you want to give your life to something that's life-giving to you, you got to follow me, follow my example, and give your life away. So let's make this practical. Let's bring this down to earth and think about what this means for us right now. And I'll put this question to you. What is Jesus calling you to give less of your life to so that you can give more of your life away? What is Jesus calling you right now in this season to give less of your life to so that you can give more of your life away? I'm going to step on your toes maybe, but let me give you a few suggestions. Maybe you need to spend less time at work and more time at home, more time at church, more time finding ways to serve in the wider community. If many of us are spending over 5 hours every single day on digital entertainment, and then we turn around and say, I'm too busy for church, I don't have time for prayer, there's no way I could fit volunteering into my schedule. Come on now. I think Jesus is saying, come on now. All right, maybe you need to spend less time shopping for things that you want, and you need to spend more time helping others get the things that they need. Maybe you need to spend less time on Netflix, Instagram, looking inside other people's houses on Zillow. And maybe you need to spend some more time connecting with the people that God has put in this world around you. Maybe you need to spend less time on these priorities that you have for yourself that feel so important. And you need to spend more time opening yourself up to God in prayer, opening yourself up to God in worship, to listen for how is God calling me right now to give my life away. None of this is easy, right? We can all agree. None of this is easy. And Jesus knows that it's not easy. In fact, in this passage, one of the things he says is when you start giving your life away to others, especially at first, it's going to feel like you're losing your life. But what you're going to find over time is that you've actually started to gain a life worth living. You're going to start to gain the kind of life that God created you and put you in this world to live. One last thing that I wanted to share. So a few years ago, I came across this this news article, and it was about this woman, and she is a nurse. She's from Australia, and she specialized in her nursing career. She specialized in palliative care, and she spent most of her career nursing, caring for people who were in their last 3 to 12 weeks of their life. And these were folks who knew they were in their last few weeks of life. And as you can imagine, she was caring for these folks, and a lot of times she would form friendships and relationships with her patients. And as she got to know them better and better, what she found is that a lot of times these folks would open up to her, and they would share with her some of their greatest regrets as they looked back over their life. And over time, this nurse found that, you know, a lot of these folks who are dying, their regrets are pretty similar. And she came to realize that most people's kind of deathbed regrets fell into one of 5 categories. And eventually she got to a place where she was so moved, and she said, you know, I got to publish this. I got to, like, share this with people who have life left to live so that they can change their lives while they still have the chance and they can avoid some of these regrets. And so she did. She's published these. You can Google this and read more about it for yourself. But I wanted to share with you, because I think this is so powerful, I wanted to share with you what she identifies as the 5 most common regrets of the dying. Number 1, she says, I wish I had had more courage. More courage. Number 2, she says, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Another one was, I wish I had been more honest, more authentic. Another one was, I wish I had focused more on friendship. And the last one, this hit home for me, she said, a lot of people regretted. They said, I wish I hadn't taken myself so seriously. I don't know how those land with you, but as I think about it, I can't help but wonder how many of those regrets are a result of people at the very end of their life looking back and realizing how much of their limited life they spent trying to gain. And how many of these regrets could we avoid if we listen to Jesus, if we practice saying no to ourselves, taking up our cross and following him? The hard truth is that our lives are limited. And so let's make the most of them. And let's make sure that we're giving our life to something that is actually life-giving to us. Let me pray for us. Oh God, this is a challenging word. This is so countercultural. God, it's even counterintuitive to us. How in the world could we gain the life we want by losing our lives, by giving our lives away? It sounds like paradoxical that's the way that leads to life. And yet you come, and not only do you tell us this, but you show us this in the way that you came, Jesus, into this world and gave your life for us. God, help us to know what it is in our lives that you're calling us to give less of ourselves, less of our time to, God. It's so easy for us to fall for the tricks and the traps in this world. These things that promise us life but just drain us of life. God, help us to find our true identity and our true life in you and in following you. Give us the wisdom to internalize this, Lord, and give us the courage to live it out. We pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen.